Title of my sermon is Farsighted, Nearsighted, and Totally Blind. And you'll get it here in just a little bit. Mark 8:18. Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember. I'll say it again. Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember. Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come, I praise you this morning, Lord, for the opportunity that I have to be in your house. I ask you, Father, as we go down through this rest of this service this morning, Lord, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that your will would be totally done here this morning, I pray. I pray, Lord, that the message would go out. I pray that your word would touch. And Lord, you know you are so good to us, Lord. I know that you are. And Father, we want to give you the praise for it all. Amen. Amen. My eye doctor would tell you that I'm nearsighted. Most of you know what that is. You know, without my contacts in and glasses that I'd wear, you know what? I'm not as bad as most, but I'd have to have them to really see good. You probably understand what I'm saying. There are some people in here probably this morning that are nearsighted. There's probably some in here that are farsighted in the physical sense of what I've mentioned to you this morning. And I know that. I don't have to raise hands to tell me. And I'll tell you this too. My wife will agree with this and say amen to this. My hearing has grown very bad down through the years as well. That's from years of working in a plant and just different things that I cannot hear very good. If she's in another room and she's talking to me, she might as well just repeat it 3 or 4 times because I got to come in and ask her what she says. And although I suffer from some hearing loss and I suffer from some my eyes aren't as good as they should be. You know what? Nothing compares to somebody who is probably totally blind or totally deaf. You know, in the things that they have to put up with in their life. But you know what? There are individuals out there who are both totally blind and totally deaf. Did you know that? In a physical sense, have you ever met anybody like that? It's called deaf blindness, and it's one word, by the way. And if you look it up, and the definition is this, and this is, I'll get to my point in my sermon here in a little bit. It's a combination of vision loss and hearing loss, that's right, that prevents access to communication. It prevents access to the environment, and it also prevents access to people. That's what the definition of deaf blindness is. The challenges that a person faces, that are like this, you know what, can be extremely difficult. That goes without saying. Am I right on that? That goes without saying. If somebody is both deaf and blind, I'm telling you, it goes without saying. Those challenges would be extremely difficult. But if, you know what, with that in mind, when you think about that, and you think that this here, what I just read to you, that they are both deaf and they are both blind, and it also says that they cannot remember. I want to ask you a question. If you know somebody that is both deaf and blind and has either Alzheimer's or dementia, could you imagine that life for that individual at that time? I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine it. You know, if they're deaf, they can work through that. We've seen that. They can read Braille. If they're blind, we've all seen all kind of different things. Hand language if they're deaf and Braille if they're blind. But you know what? Just add dementia or something like that to it. Keep that in mind as a scripture I read here to you this morning. Having eyes to see, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember. You know what? Jesus had just fed 4,000 people. Just fed 4,000, if you read back in the scripture, with 7 loaves of bread and a few fish is what it tells us. Right on the heels of this great miracle, here come the Pharisees. Here they come. And you know what? They didn't come to give God glory. They didn't come to do that. What they come to do was that, you know what? They came, and for one reason only, they came to tempt Jesus is what they came about. They came to tempt him. You know what, Jesus? You just did this miracle, but to prove who you are, could you please do another miracle? Could you please do something else? I don't know how many times in the book of Mark, Jesus had done miracles. I never went through and counted them, but I'm sure that they had heard or have seen him do numerous miracles. But here they come again. Talk about deaf blindness in a spiritual sense. Talk about it. I'm not here to minimize or put down what people that are deaf or blind or dead. But you know what? To me, this is 10,000 times worse right here. 10,000 times worse. Because you see what? Their eyes were spiritually blind. They had the equivalent of spiritual Alzheimer's is what they had. Their short-term memory had left them. If you want to put it in that aspect, and their hearts were hardened, and they were, you know what? They were dead in their sins and their hypocrisies, because you know what? They were there, they could see, they seen all that Jesus had to do, would see it with their physical eyes, but guess what? Their heart, their spiritual eyes, their spiritual heart, they could not see that He was the Son of God and that He was the only answer for them. You know what? And I feel there are so many people like that today. I'm here to tell you today, we serve a God that can save souls. We serve a God that can turn lives around. We serve a God that sent His Son to do all that for us. And yet there are so many who are willingly heading down the path towards hell. Willingly heading down that way. But you know what? And they've heard it. They've seen it. My Bible tells me before He comes back, and I believe this, that everyone will know that Jesus Christ is Lord and can save their souls. I believe that. And you know what? They come in contact with people like this just about every day. You know what? Why? Because they have 20/20 vision. They're hearing, they could hear a pin drop across the room. You know what? They're good enough to hear just the whisper of gossip if they want to hear it. And they can remember back 40 years ago. And they can remember people, they can remember events that happened back 40 years ago. You know what? What happened in school, what happened in their families. We run into people like this every day, but their spiritual ears cannot hear, and their spiritual eyes will not see what the devil is doing to them and what the devil is doing to their families. Amen. They won't see it. And if they do see it, they don't want to remember it, maybe. They've forgotten where God has brought them from, maybe. Maybe they've forgotten where God has brought them from and what He has done for them, and especially what He has done for this nation. I see it all the time. He will never hesitate to use someone that's half-hearted and hard-headed. You know, the devil will never hesitate to use somebody like that. You know that? I believe that. He is a hard-hearted person, you know what, to wreak havoc in a church, to wreak havoc in a family, to wreak havoc in all manner of things. I've seen it. And it broke my heart. And that's what got me to the Scripture. Praise God this morning. I hope there's no one in here like that this morning. But if you have sat in church all of your life and you listen to the Word over and over and you've read the Scriptures over and over and you still do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and you know what, that this Bible is truth, then I pray for you this morning. I pray that God would convict your soul. I pray that your spiritual eyes would be opened. I pray that your spiritual ears would be opened. And I pray that you would not forget what God can do and what He has been able to do. Praise God. I'll tell you what. Concerning that kind of stuff, I look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I could be preaching to you here this morning, and it could sound like rah, 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 rah to you this morning. Why? Because if you are a natural man, you will not receive the things that the Spirit of God has for you. You could have been sitting in church all your life. You could have been hearing the preaching all your life. And you say, how's that? It is possible. Believe you me, it is possible. Because you know what? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now listen to this. For they are foolishness unto him. They are foolishness unto him. I do not understand sometimes how that a person can read the Bible all their life. How that they can listen to the Word of God being preached. I do not understand it. And then go and they have such a contempt for the Word of God sometimes. I do not understand it. But he said they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Because they are what? They are spiritually discerned. If I preach to you this morning about the Spirit of God, and I tell you that the Spirit of God can move in a person's life, and that He can set them on fire, and that He can move and show you the truth, and you do not understand that here this morning. Because why? Maybe because you don't never know what the Spirit of God is in your life. The scripture that Greg read earlier said, we cannot come unto the Father except we are drawn. Amen? You do not come to know Jesus Christ unless the Spirit of God has drawn you to this altar or to an altar somewhere in your life. If the Spirit of God has drawn you and you accept that calling, I'm here to tell you this morning, I guarantee you this morning, that you can find Jesus.
Amen.
If you do it that way. I guarantee it. But you know what? Just to come on your own, you will not find what you're looking for. You will not find it because the Spirit of God has to draw you to it. Listen to this. I was looking some stuff up in belief, and I'm big on this kind of stuff, and I try to look it up as much as I can. Those people that are born from 1928 to 1945, we probably have some in here that were born in that time frame. 85% call themselves Christians. 85% call themselves Christians. Now let's compare it to this. Those born from 1990 to 1996, 56% of them call themselves Christians today. That's 8 out of 10. And 8 out of 10 of them were raised in a religious home or in a religious environment. They had eyes to see, but they were not able to see with them, you see? They had ears to hear, but they're not able to hear what thus saith the Word of God. Listen. 4% of the 56% that I told you about are agnostic. And that's according to a CNN Pew poll, if you want to look it up for yourself. That's where this comes from. 3 out of 4 of the millennials support same-sex marriage, which equals out to 73%. 73%. Now, sometimes we paint with a wide brush. I understand that. I do that sometimes. But listen, whenever I say that this country is in trouble and it's getting worse, you don't have to go far to see what I'm talking about. Amen? This article goes on to say that one of the biggest reasons that the millennials don't attend church regularly, and I'm going to agree with them on this, is because it's boring. It's because it is boring. I tend to agree on that subject. Amen? In this context, if you're attending a dead church where the Spirit of God is not present or it is not welcome, I'm here to tell you this morning, it can be as boring as watching paint dry. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? I can assure you, right here today on February 7th, 2016, if the Spirit of God is dwelling in your heart and moving in this church that you are attending, it will not be boring to you. It will not be boring. You will not be bored. I've seen people, I tell you what, I've attended a lot of church down through the years, and you have, some of you have too. I've seen people shouting, praising the Lord. I've seen testimonies. I've seen people singing the praises of God. I've seen people running the aisle. I've seen people shout. I've seen preachers preach their hearts out. I've seen the altars full. And I'm telling you right here, and I've seen the convicting power of God stir hearts to where these altars are full. And I'm telling you, there's nothing boring about that. Because as the Scripture tells us, where the Spirit of the Lord is there liberty. Yes, it can be boring in a church without the Holy Spirit present. Yes, it can be. Romans 8:9 tells us why. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? He is none of his. And let me tell you something. If you don't have the Spirit of God in your heart, the Spirit of Christ in your heart, it would be boring to be in a church. Amen? You wouldn't want to be in a church. Why? Because the devil's got you. He's got you. It's boring to you. You don't want to hear that, you know what, that you need to be saved. You don't want to hear that God can draw you closer every day. You don't want to hear none of that stuff. Yes, a dead church with a dead preacher preaching a dead message to a dead congregation who is cheering him on. Who could care less about souls being saved and about the community being helped? Yes, that church can be dead, and I agree with you 100%. I wouldn't want to attend it either. You know what? Preachers are more worried about getting people out on time so they can go eat lunch or so they won't miss the kickoff sometimes. Amen or oh my. and don't dare step on their toes. Well, so don't dare do that. Because if you do that, I'm going to leave the church. You know what? You know what? If I step on your toes, leave you. I told you this here a while back. I wasn't aiming for your toes. I was aiming for your heart. And I hope it hit. Would be as boring as that. I'm telling you right now, I know it would be. If you get a hold of the real thing, let me tell you, you're going to be like the psalmist David. Like he said in 122, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when I got up this morning and I had the opportunity to come to God's house at Drift Run Church and serve Him. Not to listen to Dave Long, not to listen to the teaching, but to come to God's house and praise and worship the One that saved us. I was happy when I got up this morning to be able to say that. I was tickled to death to be able to say that. You know what? People have become so deaf and so blind to God's Word as well. They've done that. Do you know that 88% of Americans own a Bible? 88% of Americans own a Bible. I say praise God for that. Praise God for that. And did you know only 21% of them believe it's true? And that is the inspired Word of God. And you know what? They have that 21%. They read it at least 4 times a week. Amen. We need to read God's Word. I believe that. But 88%, only 21% read it more than 4 times. And we wonder why. We wonder why there's no power. We wonder why there's no power in God's house, in God's churches. Having eyes to see ye not. Having ears to hear ye not. Do ye not remember? Concerning the Word of God, it has become an epidemic. Jeremiah 23:29 tells us this, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? When the Word of God is alive in people's heart, I'm here to tell you this morning, you cannot get enough of it. You can't get enough of God's Word if it's alive and real to you. Yeah, if you're going to read it just like it's some book, I'm telling you right now, if you're going to read it just like it's some book, oh yeah, it's going to be boring. Thou and thee and this and that. Let me tell you something, though. You know what? It's not boring when you can't get enough of it when the Word becomes live. Psalm 63. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and a thirsty land where no answer is. We have the answer. Why should we not be tickled to death to be able to get into God's Word and read it? You can't pick it up, the Word of God, once a year, once a month, or even once a week, and expect the Word of God to be alive to you, to be real to you, to be what it needs to be in your life. You cannot do that. You've got to read the Word of God if you want it to be real in your life and to be one of those, and expect to feel the power from it. This Word has power in it. Do you agree with me on that? This Word has power. If you agree with me that this Word has power, would you not want to get into it as much as you can get into it? Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Listen to me. This Word discerns my thoughts and even the intents of what I'm going. Do you understand that? And if it does that to me, it does that to you, for He is no respecter of person. Folks, God's Word is alive. And it is well today. Not only is it alive and it is well. Way too many have become blind and deaf to the truth and the power found only in the Holy Word of God. They've become blind to it. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Have you ever read the Word of God and become so engulfed in it that you lost track of time? Have you ever done that? That's how alive it can come to you. That's how involved we the Word of God. You know what? If you haven't for a while, or maybe you never have, I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to get so engulfed in God's Word and take it and soak it in and to see how much power is involved in that. Get into the Word of God. Let the Spirit teach you. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Did you get that? You don't have to have any man teach you with the Spirit of God showing you what's right and wrong. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Let the Word of God open your spiritual eyes. Let the Word of God open your spiritual ears. Let him do that. It's time we get away from this deaf blindness that we're in. It's time that we do that. Folks, I believe in we've gotten spiritual Alzheimer's also. Amen? They have totally forgotten where God has brought them out of. It says in Psalm 50:22, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, there be none to deliver you." That's right to the point, Scripture, is it not? We cannot forget what God has brought us out of and where He brought us to. Yes, I believe there are some folks that are farsighted as well. You know what farsighted is? They can't see things right underneath their nose sometimes, right? Am I right? Is that what that means? That's what it means. You can't see things. Without your glasses and stuff, you can't see things underneath. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. There are times we are spiritually farsighted that we cannot see what is right actually under our noses sometimes. What God is doing for us right now, right here, right at this moment. Amen? God does a lot for us. He does stuff for us every day. And we have become so spiritually farsighted sometimes, we don't see what He's doing right in front of us. We're always looking. We're looking to see, well, He blesses this one more than He blesses. Listen to me. He blessed you for the opportunity to be here today, to be in His house today, to be part of this service today. And I'm telling you what, praise God, we need to continue to say, "Thank you, Lord. Open my eyes, Lord." Farsighted. Maybe there may be some people in here that's nearsighted too. You know what? Without vision, the people will perish. Amen? Without a vision, the people will perish. I believe we have a vision here this morning. Do you have a vision for your family? Do you have a vision for your church? Do you have a vision for serving God in your life? Praise God, I believe we need to get out of it. We need to get this vision. We need to grab a hold of it. And we need to take it and use it for what God's glory wants us to do. Praise the Lord this morning. I tell you what, we need to get our eyes open. We need to get our ears open. And we need to remember. There's one other verse of Scripture too. It said they have noses, but they can't smell. That's over in Proverbs or Psalms 1. But I remember that. When it was talking about that, listen to me. We need to do what all of our senses should be open to what God wants us to do. Whatever it may be. The Pharisees could not see what they had right in front of them. They couldn't see it. They could not see that this was the Son of God. They couldn't see that. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're sitting here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm offering you the Son of God. I'm offering you that here this morning. I'm offering you to come to this altar and come up here and give your life to Jesus Christ, the one who can open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears, and you'll be able to understand God's Word. You'll be able to understand the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. Amen? I'm offering that to you here this morning. They come and give a song.